Welcome inside the Eastern Conference Tuesday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Ross Levitan from Locked On Senators, alongside Gil Martin from Locked On Islanders. A pair of teams we cover are sellers, and the trade deadline is 1 week away. So we're going to discuss which team is it most important to sell for, who needs assets in the future, and which team can provide a contender with a piece to put them over the edge. We'll also get into the power rankings as we do before the new week's is released. We're going to look back at last week's and see which teams can rise or fall. All that plus a superstar has been suspended. We'll tell you who and for how long. This is the Locked On NHL podcast, your team every day.
You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome inside the Locked On NHL podcast. We thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I'm Ross Levitan on this Tuesday, March 15th edition of Locked On NHL, and I'm pleased to be joined by Gil Martin of Locked On Islanders. We're going to get to it later on, Gil. I teased it that we're going to talk about risers and fallers, but your Islanders had an undefeated 3-0 week.
Yeah, not bad. Three straight wins, first time in a long time, and it feels good, even if it is probably too little too late for this year.
The offense came through too. If I'm seeing this, 15 goals in three games, who stood out and could any of those pieces be on the move in the next week?
One or two of them could be, but I mean, look, Kyle Palmieri, who was off to such a slow start, he's waking up. Anders Lee is hot. Josh Bailey, Anthony Beauvillier, all these guys who have been underachieving all year, all of a sudden they're sort of hitting it on all cylinders over the last three or four games.
Before we get to the rest of the sellers and who could be on the move, the big news around the hockey world is Austin Matthews, Maple Leaf superstar, has been suspended two games for a cross-check to the throat head area of Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin in the outdoor game at the Tim Hortons Heritage Classic in Hamilton. Loved the way that both teams entered. Obviously, the Leafs paying homage to the steel background and heritage of the city of Hamilton. And then the Buffalo Sabres taking weather out of the equation, going full Flint Tropics in an early March game in Ontario. But, Gil, what are your initial thoughts on the suspension and the play itself?
I think the suspension is about right. I mean, Austin Matthews doesn't have a history. He's not a repeat offender. You look at the replay, it looks like he just lost his cool. You know, there was an exchange of shoves and pushes, and, Matthews just sort of lost it for a second. He did make the cross check to the neck or the throat or head area. There's little defense for it. And, you know, because he's not a repeat offender, I think two games is relatively fair. What do you think?
I think so as well. I'd love to have Mikey DiStefano, my typical. Of course, we love having you here, Gil, but also if we could get Mikey DiStefano sipping pina coladas on a cruise right now, the host of Locked On Leafs. I'm curious what his thoughts are on this, because for me, you could probably use the reasoning or excuse, whatever you want to call it, that Dahlin gives him a few pretty good shots first, but I would be all right if Matthew stands up and gives him that same whack in the area. And you know, players aim for the spot between the shoulder pad and the elbow guard. But once you get above the shoulders, and Matthews said that he felt it hit the shoulder pad and rolled up, that went right to the face of Dahlin. So it had to be dealt with, especially in a, you know, celebratory game like that, where all eyes are on the Heritage Classic. And you just can't be doing that. So a star in the league, you don't want him to be out of the lineup even. Yes, me as a host of Locked On Senators can appreciate the unbelievable talent and pace that Austin Matthews has been on this year when it comes to goal scoring. So it sucks for the league to have to suspend him when he's electric and putting up highlight reel plays every night, but it's the right thing. And I don't think it's overly harsh. It's a two-gamer. You sit it and you move on.
I agree. It's not overly harsh. And I like the fact that, you know, yes, the league doesn't want to suspend a superstar like Austin Matthews, but at the same time, you can't have two sets of rules, one for star players and one for average players. You know, you have to be within a certain amount of fairness when you consider everything. So I think the league handled, and I don't say this too often, but I think the league handled the suspension well.
Yes, and it was a chippy game. Even afterwards, there's another good hit that one of the defensemen on Buffalo laid out on Matthews at the end of it, and you had a big scrum ensue, and you think maybe some leftover aggression and emotion for the Maple Leafs, who lost to Buffalo 5-1 just a week ago on their own home ice. So when you look at a special game and Buffalo again gets the win, Craig Anderson, this guy's 301st. So since we last recorded the Eastern Conference edition, Craig Anderson hits his 300 win milestone. And that's no easy feat. As an American, you can appreciate that he's only the 6th U.S. born goalie to reach that milestone. And a hell of a lot of those wins, Gil, came in the Eastern Conference, playing with Ottawa for a decade, a little bit with Washington, Florida in his younger years. So he's been around, and to see him, he's now the 2nd best record in outdoor games. He's 3-0, and I've been at 2 of them, in Vancouver in 2014, in Ottawa in 2018 or 17, right before the new year. And then again, now only, let's put you on the spot trivia, and you know what teams get more outdoor games than others. And I'll tell you, it's close to home for you, but can you guess the only goalie to have more than Craig Anderson's 3 outdoor game wins?
I'm going to go with Henrik Lundqvist.
I knew you would get that. That's awesome. He's 4-0. Craig Anderson, 3-0. So fun. What do you think about those outdoor games in general? Are you a fan?
I am a fan. I covered one when the Islanders and the Rangers played at Yankee Stadium.
Let me guess. I'd Lundqvist win.
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact. Freezing cold day. I mean, we had like the French fry lamps over our head, and we were sitting outdoors, and it was – I must have gone through 7 or 8 hot chocolates, which they were supplying us with, but it was worth it.
Hey, don't get me started on the cold. The 2nd coldest game in NHL history was the NHL 100 Classic in Ottawa. You'd go get your beer at the CFL football stadium. So it seats about 20, 25,000 people. And by the time you got back to your seat, your beer was a slush puppy, essentially. It was a wild experience, but to see the Montreal Canadiens be shut out, it was well worth it. For sure. But I agree with you. I think it can be a bit overplayed, I think, for some fans watching on TV. But you can't understate how important and exciting it is for the fans involved in the game, especially the ones who are getting to see it in their local establishment, whether it's a football stadium or a baseball.
Yeah, it's a different atmosphere. And it really, I mean, look, is it ideal? No. Are the ice conditions ideal? Very rarely. Are the sight lines as good as they are in an NHL rink? No. But it's a special occasion. And to be a part of that atmosphere and to be a part of something big and different, and, you know, they always have good pregame entertainment, and it's an event for the players as well. To me, it is a celebration of the game of hockey, and it takes people back to their childhood when they're playing on the frozen pond. And I'm glad they only do about 3 of them a year, but I'm glad they do them also.
Yeah, so do I. I'm trying to find here in the record books. Oh my goodness, I can find it. So you nailed the first one. So I'm going to put you on the spot here before we get to our trade deadline sellers and our power rankings update. But can you tell me who has the most points in outdoor game history?
Claude Giroux.
No, but we are going to talk about Claude Giroux, and he is high on this list, so I will give you a respectable guess at that. He is tied for 7th with 4 points, and he did it in 4 games. The leader, and this was a way tougher one, and I'm actually impressed that you got Henrik Lundqvist so fast. It's Henrik Zetterberg and Jonathan Toews with 7 points each. Zetterberg getting 7 assists in 4 outdoor games. So he leads the track in points per game. All right. That was a fun little trivia. You can go tell your friends. Maybe next time the NHL comes to your neighborhood, as we expect to see a continuation of outdoor games. One thing I will say, though, I'm way more of a fan of outdoor games in cold weather climates. I don't know about the whole Dodger Stadium and doing it in the South, but maybe that's just my axe to grind here on Locked On NHL. We appreciate you making Locked On NHL your first listen of the day. For your second listen of the day, why not go grab another Locked On NHL podcast like Locked On Islanders or Locked On Senators. We've got your team every day, and that's the beauty of this network. It's local experts on the biggest stories, and no better time for that than the draft and when it comes to trade deadline, because each guy is locked in with their team. They know who's going where, and with that information, maybe you want to place a future at betonline.ag. We know that at betonline.net, rather, the updated edition of BetOnline, betonline.net has all the odds, totals, player performance props, and you can get anything there. I mentioned futures. You can bet on where the next fired coach is going to land. BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your betting needs. Gil, I know you love BetOnline.net as well.
I do. BetOnline, it really is your source for all your sports betting needs and info. And look, it's the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. You got the NCAA basketball tournament coming up finally. And not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information needs, like live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, let's get into some sellers as we're 7 days away from the trade deadline. First, a general question, and I heard Pierre Dorion say on the weekend he doesn't expect to be busy, which is new for him. 2018, they went down to the wire whether they were going to trade Erik Karlsson or not. 2019, they trade Mark Stone. 2020, they trade Jean-Gabriel Pageau to your Islanders. So for him, he thinks it's going to be quiet. He says his phone's not really ringing. Do you think this is the kind of year, strange as it may be, where we could see a quieter trade deadline?
You know, I don't think it'll be that quiet. It may be a little quieter than it was in the past, but I think you have certain teams right now that have very definite needs. I think about teams like the Maple Leafs, the Oilers, both of them needing either goaltending and or defense. I think especially in the Eastern Conference, you pretty much know who the eight playoff teams are going to be. So there are clear teams that are going to be designated as sellers to try to fill those needs. I think we'll see a lot of activity, although I think we may see more of it before Monday's actual trade deadline day.
Yeah, you know, teams like to get a head start on it, and it's one for one in working out right now. How about the play that Tyler Toffoli's had since he's been over in Calgary, really taking them to another level, even though they'd already started winning when he joined the team. So teams and players alike, they want as much time as possible to get comfortable going into the playoffs and create that chemistry. We've seen times where it just falls flat on its face and just doesn't work. You look at Matt Duchene, only had, I think, 3 goals and 7 points in 20 games after you give up so many pieces, including a first-round pick, to get them. So there are times where it's just, does it push you over the edge? And there's other times when it does, as I'm sure you know, with Pageau being a big part of getting the Islanders to the conference final the last couple of years. So when it comes to the sellers in the market, and if you're looking at the NHL Locked On NHL power rankings, or even if you're just considering the standings right now, if you're an Eastern Conference team named Detroit, the Islanders, the Senators, the Devils, the Flyers, the Sabres, and the Canadiens, who do you think needs to sell the most?
Out of all those teams, who needs to sell? I think Philadelphia. I think the Flyers are probably one of those teams that, you know, if they're going to move Claude Giroux, and that's, you know, the big rumor, and I think they'll get a nice haul for him, whoever steps up to acquire him. You know, this is a team that really needs to sort of rebuild its core more than some of the other teams. I think you look at Buffalo, you look at the Islanders. Those are teams that have a core that they're ready to build around, and they're looking more to tweak. I think the Flyers still, you know, Giroux has been the core, and I think if they move on from him, they're really starting a very big rebuild.
And when you look at their cap-friendly page, not a whole lot of UFAs. Derek Brassard's there. He could be like a fifth or sixth option. down the middle for a team, a guy who can play games. We called him Big Game Brass when he was in Ottawa in 2017 because he does have a penchant for that going back to his days with the Rangers.
Yep.
He also had a cup of coffee with your Islanders. He's been around the block these last few years, but he's a guy you could get a mid-round pick for. I don't think you're going to expect much more than that. But on the back end too, these aren't guys who are going to be really sought after except the guys who have term, which is why if you're trading Giroux, do you consider moving some of the guys with term, or do you think that as they did by signing Ristolainen, so he's not going anywhere, a very, how would you say it, a guy with a lot of wide-ranging opinions on in around the league, and especially for the signing that the contract that he ends up getting, like over $25 million worth, oh, 5.1 on the AAV, seems to me like at least management and ownership thinks this is more of a reload rather than rebuild, because you're not moving Kevin Hayes's contract with 5 years left, four after this one, at 7.1. Van Riemsdyk, $7 million next year. Like the teams who would go and acquire these guys are teams that can't fit that under what they're already paying in salary-wise. So I think it's going to be interesting. I'm glad you brought up the Flyers because they have nice pieces, but some would say those pieces are overpaid. And with the cap not going up, it's hard to fit that amount of term in the landing spots you might expect them to be.
No question. And then from a Flyers perspective, I think that means you're looking more at making trades before the draft coming up this summer, where, you know, you can get people to take some of those bad contracts in exchange for draft picks and cap space, and all of those things can more or less come into play.
Yeah, they've only lost two draft picks. Their second rounder this year and second rounder next year are both gone. So if they are going the rebuild route, they're looking at only a draft where they have six picks this year, six picks next year, and no second in either. So I think that they're in a pretty precarious situation. But again, they also have to get better, you know, defensive play. And it makes me question what they're going with if they think the Ristolainen is going to be a part of the solution. So I'm a bit of a head scratcher on that one, but I am curious to see how things play out for Philly, who don't look now, but are second last in the Eastern Conference, only in front of the Montreal Canadiens. How wild is that? The Montreals won seven of their last 10 games and are still in last place. That shows you how far they had to climb from behind everyone else. They're still 7 points behind the Flyers with the same number of games played. Since we're on Montreal, just quickly there, I think they have a couple interesting pieces that could help as well. But again, you're looking at mostly players with term outside of the obvious, and it's Ben Chiarot. Now, since we're talking about defensemen and Ben Chiarot's name comes up, how much, if any, do you think his value could change based on the injury status of Jacob Chychrun, who we know was injured over the weekend, going back for an MRI? Do you think his value could rise a little bit if a team maybe wanted Chychrun, who has term, younger player? I'm not comparing the two per se, but they do play the same position. So if you miss out on one, could some teams pivot and create a bigger market for a Ben Chiarot?
Absolutely. I mean, if Chychrun isn't available, then, you know, there's a screen. The demand is just as high and the supply is less. For a long time, even before the season started, his name was coming up in trade rumors. So, yeah, I think that will definitely juice up the market for Ben Chiarot if in the event that it's a fairly serious injury to Chychrun.
Yes, another guy when I look at the Habs roster is Arturi Lehkonen, who's a restricted free agent after this season, but he is a speedy winger with a ton of attributes that could help in a playoff-type role, having a pretty decent offensive year as well with 28 points in 55 games. Now, when you look at Ottawa and New Jersey, those are organizations that are in the stage of the rebuild where they want to implement more young players in their lineup and have them start to take control of more ice time. So at least Ottawa, which I know the best of any, is you're just trying to move your UFAs right now. You're just trying to get any sort of assets you can, not only to create layers of draft where Ottawa had 10 picks in 2020 and then another eight last year, but also to open up spots on the NHL roster to maybe get an extended look at certain guys. So I don't think there's many big names for Ottawa, at least. Nick Paul is the one that could fetch a pretty good return. I don't think Anton Forsberg is going to be on the move because They just had multiple injuries in the organization. One at the NHL level, Matt Murray out long-term, again, shocker. And then at the AHL level, so they brought a guy off the street to back up in the AHL on Saturday. He actually ended up getting in the game too. But I think Anton Forsberg stays. He'll be reevaluated in the summer. But Nick Paul could be a piece that really helps. And then with New Jersey, I mean, you'd probably be the more of an expert there. You get to see him in the same division. What do you think could be a play for the Devils this trade deadline season?
You know, I mean, the Devils are a team that has that young core in place, and I like a lot of those younger players. Guy who might be available, and we talked about the squeeze on defensemen, but again, it's a salary cap thing. PK Subban, someone who could certainly help a power play, certainly can help, still be a top four defenseman on a lot of teams. And the only question is, who's willing to take on that hit? That becomes the big issue for PK Subban.
Is it just the last year of it here, or does he still have another year on his contract?
I believe he has another year on his contract.
Yeah, so they would have to, at the very least, eat half of that because $9 million. This is the last year, though. So that being said, it's still a lot to take on under the cap. I don't know how that moves on, but you're right. He's a guy with experience. He's played 96 playoff games, but you're not getting the PK Subban that won a Norris Trophy. You're not getting the PK Subban that puts up double-digit goals. That player is just come and gone through his prime. And you expect that as now he's on the other side of 30, but he can still be a contributing top six. I'd agree with that. And I think a team, if they can fit him under the cap, big if, like, I don't know, would he be a good, like, number six defenseman in Colorado if they could somehow manage that around the cap? Or I think that they could be a team to watch this deadline because they've been burned before, especially in goal. Like, what would you do if you're Joe Sakic? Can you have this core for a fourth run and the goaltending can't happen again? Like, they're a team that started Michael Hutchinson in a conference final game because they just didn't have any other options. Andrew Hammond started a playoff game for them. So they need to make sure that they're in goal, have a ton of depth. But again, we'll leave that to Locked On Avalanche host Chris Michelli and the Thursday edition of Locked On NHL, where we get the Western Conference locked down. That's a quick preview of the Eastern Conference from the look of the sellers. If you want to hear about which teams should buy and who will buy, then check out last week's Tuesday edition, where Mike DeStefano of Locked On Leafs and I both went through those. So stay locked on the NHL channel, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, anywhere you want to consume it, we've got it at Locked On NHL. And that's thanks every day to our great sponsors like Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer? You have your own, don't you? So save time and money and use Rock Auto. Don't spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store when you can get it yourself. Support a family business that serves do-it-yourselfers, and they've been doing it for over 20 years. If you're nervous, don't be. They've got the seal of longevity. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need, whether it's brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, or even a new carpet. So go explore their easy-to-use website and find the solutions for your auto parts needs. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. All we ask, this is it. Just write Locked On when you use their How Did You Hear About Us box. Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. All right, we're here on the Locked On NHL Tuesday Eastern Conference Edition. I'm Ross Levitan of Locked On Senators. You can follow the show at Sen Central as well, as it's trade deadline season, as I'm here with Gil Martin of Locked On Islanders. Two teams that have found themselves in the right column. And I don't mean right as in where you want to be. I mean the two columns on the Locked On NHL power rankings, where the teams on the right, if I could speak English, are not the ones who you'll see play in May and June this year. So we talked about the sellers, but now I want to get, and I know Gil, you have it pulled up right now too, hey?
Yep.
So which one of these teams do you think could be the biggest mover as on Wednesday, we'll find out at the Locked On Network's Twitter and Instagram page.
Ah, oh, boy. Big mover here. That is a tough one. You know, I think the Leafs are going to go down a little bit. And, you know, I think that they are sort of hitting some tough times right now. We talked about their loss to the Sabres, and I think they're hurting right now for some consistency. I wouldn't be surprised to see Toronto drop a notches.
Well, would you look at that? You spend $5 million on goalies combined, and you spend $40 million on four forwards. And what seems to be their biggest problem right now, Mr. Martin?
This is a recording.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the Leafs as a team that's easy to pick on, especially for me up the 401 highway just a few hours north. And I was living in the heart of enemy territory for 4 years. So you get the same roller coaster ride every single year. It's our year. It's the Leafs. We've got the best team, but it always seems to be the Achilles heel of keeping pucks out of their net at inopportune times. And they've tried everything. They tried to go full on, you know, with the goaltending with Freddie Anderson. Now look at what Anderson's doing in Carolina. I mean, he set records with the Leafs, though. So it wasn't like he was a guy who was bad here, but it was bad goals at bad times. I have a running joke on Locked On Senators. We call him Freddie Lalim because back in the early 2000s, Lalim was always a great goalie, but he would just have these ridiculous gaffes in bad games and game sevens against the Leafs, who were always lower in the standings, and the Leafs would win those playoff series. So that's really what happened against Boston the last few years. Freddie Anderson would give up a squeaker in game seven, and all of a sudden, whether it's a 4-1 lead evaporating in a game or a 3-1 series lead like it did against the Habs, it's like this team, although they have more resources than any other when it comes to player development, to scouting, to fan, like the fans will be at fill that stadium, whether they're win, lose, or draw. So when it comes to what they're able to put into all of building a team, it just seems like it's problems that people from the outside are so easy to point out. But then even when they try addressing it, whether it's trading for a Jack Campbell, signing a Peter Mrazek, who's having the worst statistical year of his career. So it's not like you could have predicted that based on his play. It just seems like nothing can finish the right way. Although it's not like they won't make playoffs. So they'll still have an opportunity to do that, right?
No doubt. But, you know, there's one other thing that Toronto has the most of, and that is scrutiny and the media attention. I mean, it's similar to the New York Rangers here in the States where, you know, they've won one Stanley Cup since 1940 and the Leafs haven't won or even gotten to a cup final since 1967. But the media spotlight, the attention, the pressure of playing in Toronto, or that I think that is almost another obstacle that those two franchises have to deal with every year. And how much money four forwards are making versus their entire, you know, otherwise we're going to be, you know, lather, rinse, repeat over and over again for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I mean, it would make for tremendous content if it happened again. But when I'm looking at this team, and you can look at their top scorers and be like, okay, I see why they're being paid that much. Like outside of John Tavares, who's even still almost a point per game player, but at $11 million, I mean, that you could easily say is an overpayment for what he's contributing. Like one of the only dash players on the team, him and Willie Nylander, but Willie's $6.9 million. You can still say that that's worth what he brings offensively. But Marner's been outrageous. I think he's got 42 points in his last 24 games. And Austin Matthews scores almost every time he steps on the ice. So they have great players, but it just shows. And the Islanders are an example of a team that doesn't have that huge payroll guy, but they have a lot of guys making 5-4-3, even their fourth line, right? They're all making pretty decent money, but they don't have that hierarchy of guys at the very top, and they just grind out playoff series wins year after year. So I think that it's a pretty interesting comparison, and it's easy for me to say the Islanders are my riser because you mentioned it. They win three games, and I'm just looking at the teams right ahead of the Islanders, and yeah, the Sharks shut out the Kings 5-0 the other night, but I think that the Red Wings, they're a team that's falling fast and furious down the standings and for me down the power rankings. And didn't the Islanders beat Columbus in one of their games? So I put a lot of stock into those head-to-head matchups, those matchups as well. So I don't know why the Islanders couldn't jump over Columbus. So that's where I've got as my riser here. And you have your faller, sorry, as the Leafs. Did I get your riser?
No, although you did take my riser in the
perfect. So, hey, you can't take your own team. Let me give you a little tire pump instead.
Yeah, no, it works out. And look, like I said, for the Islanders, it's probably too little too late for this season. But I think, you know, the Islanders are more of a veteran team and they're going to make just tweaks at the trade deadline rather than blockbuster moves. And, you know, guys with expiring contracts, if anybody wants a Zdeno Chara or a Cal Clutterbuck, but the core of this team is coming back. And I think that all of the crazy things that happened to him this year can't happen to him again, can it? I mean, COVID and a 13-game road trip to start the season and all that fun stuff. So hopefully the Islanders sort of find themselves down the stretch and come back next year and pick up where they left off 2 years ago.
So I think I mentioned in a roundabout way, but do you expect Lou Lamoriello to trade anyone with term, or do you think it's more just, okay, you realize that there were some outside circumstances that didn't allow success this year. Let's run it back and see if we can pick up back at the level that they were for the past two seasons.
I think primarily that's what you're looking at, but if somebody bowls over Lou Lamoriello, the two players who have term who have been mentioned a lot, Semyon Varlamov, 1 year left at $5 million cap hit. And then Scotty Mayfield, who has like a $1.4 million cap hit, and I think also has 1 year left. Hard to get those, you know, top four defensemen who have such a low term, no less. So to me, Lou Lamoriello would rather hold on to those guys, but if somebody makes him an offer that he can't reasonably turn down, he'd be willing to move those guys.
Well, time will tell as we're nearing the trade deadline, 6 days from when you're listening to this on Tuesday, March 15th. Gil, it's been an absolute pleasure having you join me on Locked On NHL today. Let everyone know where they can find you and Locked On Islanders.
Well, Locked On Islanders, wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube as well. And you could follow the podcast at Locked On Isles, and you could follow me at Ice Wars, NYR, VS, NYI.
You can follow me at Ross Levitan. Locked On Senators is found at Sen Central. We appreciate you making Locked On NHL your first listen of the day. So for your second listen, why don't you go check out the boys at Locked On Fantasy Hockey and get geared up for what I'm sure is nearing playoff season in fantasy land. So for Gil Martin, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On NHL podcast, your team every day.